What do chefs at high-end restaurants talk about at their conferences? Well, in Spain this year, subjects included making flan with tree pulp, inside-out sushi, and how to serve smoke. From Europe to San Francisco, restaurant kitchens are starting to move into some very new and very high-tech experimental food. Our technical director, Kirill Owen, decided to see what's cooking in Chicago. She sat down with Chef Homaro Cantu before dinner at his genre-bending and, let's face it, mind-blowing restaurant, Moto.
The year of eating dangerously, that's what we're calling it. My husband and I are trying to eat our way through some of America's best, most innovative restaurants. Dangerous? To our wallets, certainly. And there's only so much a health club can do about the after effects of a lot of fine dining. But also dangerous to one's preconceptions of what makes good food. Which brings us to Fulton Market in Chicago this frigid February evening. On a block filled with semis, corner coffee shops, and meatpacking plants is some serious destination dining. Moto, the high-tech home of Chef Homaro Cantu. Chef Cantu told us about what we might expect to see on our table.
That's the sound of 130 pounds per square inch of carbon dioxide releasing from a fermentation chamber. And inside we have carbonated fruit salsa.
Carbonated fruit salsa? This is going to pop in your mouth?
Yeah, I'm not going to let you taste it until tonight because it'll ruin the experience.
Homaro Cantu is one of America's most avant-garde chefs, one who mixes humor, haute cuisine, and high science. His dishes include lobster with freshly squeezed orange soda, goat cheese snow, and donut soup. Along with that carbonator, his kitchen tools include polymer cooking boxes, liquid nitrogen, and a laser. Cantu and his design and engineering partners, Deep Labs, have patents pending on so many culinary inventions that I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement just to walk through the Moto kitchen doors. Anything in here that's being used that just is unusual in a kitchen?
Yeah, pretty much everything. Those gas tanks over there, styrofoam containers that we use to work with liquid nitrogen.
What do you use liquid nitrogen for?
We do an inverted flapjack where we take a pancake batter, we make pancakes, and then we puree it into cooked pancake batter. Then we take that pancake batter and stick it onto a plate that's been frozen in liquid nitrogen. It freezes one side, we flip it over, it freezes the other side, and then you eat this thing that melts in your mouth. Tastes like a melting flapjack, but it's actually cooked. We call it the inverted pancake.
So, is this haute cuisine or high science?
You know, I don't really think of it as science. I just think of it as tinkering. We just tinker with things. And if we can't figure out how to make something, then we can talk to people that we consult with who understand science, and then they'll educate us a little bit about it.
Who are some of the people you consult with?
Well, we're consulting with NASA on a project called a food replicator. We're working on a project with the NIAC wing of NASA called the NASA Institute for Advanced Concepts. What these guys do, you ever hear of that space elevator? They wanted to take a big tether and put it on the moon and then have this thing go back and forth. Sounds like some real cockamamie stuff. But they're really making this thing. And so they asked us to create the world's first three-dimensional food replicator along with another company called Icosystems, where you push a button and one of 300 dishes pops out the other end. And it works on basically printing technology, which we have a patent pending on. We have a food replicator here, but it only replicates food in two dimensions.
The food replicator is an inkjet printer. The ink, edible dyes and reductions, the paper, is made from rice. Your menu for the evening comes printed on a bed of dip to be scooped up with chips.
We do a dish where we serve the dish and then we serve you the recipe of the dish, and all the components that are in that dish are on the sheet so you can taste it in the two-dimensional form. You know how to make it. But you see, the whole point of all this stuff, like the food replicator, this is much more than just playing around with paper food. We can take pharmaceuticals and put them on there. We can put, you know, dental care on there. You throw something in there that tastes like a rabbit, but it's got, I don't know, Celebrex in it and, you know, breath freshener, something that fights cavities. And then we could take it a step further than that. We can implement nutritional value, calories, amino acids, all this stuff. So you could put a stack of papers in your pocket and live on it for a week with just that and water. Now, it doesn't take too much to imagine where we can use this technology. You know, we're talking with some heavy hitters about stamping out world hunger with this stuff.
From a stack of paper in a pocket, how far is it to futurist favorite meals in a pill?
Well, we are working on pills for dinner. We actually got this chemical in yesterday that enables us to encapsulate fats, and then the fats turn into a powder. I actually just purchased a pill press today, so we're going to take this powder and compress it down, then you got yourself a bacon pill, which is kind of cool.
So when you roll out something like edible paper, what do diners do? How do people react? And have you ever put anything out on the tables that diners have just reacted so badly to that you've had to pull it?
From time to time, there is a course or two that people may not dig. You know, there's this course right now that we call black seafood. It's a course that comes out looking pitch black like it was charred in an incinerator. But here we're asking the question, you know, you have to strip away your sense of sight and just eat the dish for what it is. We tell them it's calamari, lemon, and creme fraiche. That's exactly what's on there. But we make it look like it's been charred to a pulp. You know, it's a little weird for people to look at. And they go, you know, they just determine right away, I'm not going to like this. But then they eat it, and it's like, wow, that was really good. You know, it didn't taste anything like what it looked like. So as humans, we automatically have these preconceived notions as to what tastes good. This is where this project with NASA becomes very interesting. You know, let's say that the only way that we can create meat in outer space is to create it in a Petri dish. You know, our astronaut's going to sit there and go, hey, this tastes good. It was created in a Petri dish in a lab, and it didn't go moo. I mean, that's a hurdle that we all have to get over.
Is there ever a danger that the theater, that the fun, or that the science will overwhelm the seriousness of the food?
No, because the bottom line here is that this stuff has to taste great. If it doesn't taste great, it's just a joke. I think that for the longest time, fine dining has been this stuffy white tablecloth hellhole that, you know, everybody winds up shelling out way too much money for. You got to wear a jacket and tie. You know, I'm not knocking all the fine dining restaurants out there. That's just the way it's been done. That's the French model that has existed for 200 years, and, you know, dining should be fun. Eating should be fun. It should be like a kid going to Chuck E. Cheese for the first time. My goal here is just for people to have fun with food. It's really what it's all about. And to actually expect the unexpected when they come here.
What are you planning to do with that laser?
What we're going to do is some caramel laserized wine notes this evening. You're going to have a dish that's paired with a red wine that's aged in oak. And whenever you age red wines in oak, it imparts a sort of vanilla-like quality because the same compound that's found in red wine that's been aged in oak is found in vanilla beans. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a piece of Madagascar vanilla bean, put it up against the laser, and incinerate it at 2600 degrees Fahrenheit. When we do that, the smoke that comes up is going to go into your red wine glass. We're going to trap the smoke in there, bring it to the table. You're going to flip it over. That smoke is going to emanate around the table. You're going to experience this. And then we're going to pour the wine in there. And because the smoke has gone into the glass, it forms a micro-thin film of soot in the glass. And it pairs well with the wine. So we're pairing smoke with wine.
And serving smoke. It was an amazing meal. I'll plan on checking in with Chef Amaro Kanto again when he opens his first restaurant in space.
Chef Amaro Kanto at Moto in Chicago, Illinois. He spoke with TT Book Technical Director Carrillo and